Great. Well, we're going to just have a think about those verses that have just been read to us from 1 Peter chapter 5. And I want you to imagine that you meet a friend, a Christian friend, and they're really struggling. They're having a bad time. Things are tough for them. I wonder how you'd encourage them. What would you say to help them to keep going? Because that's what Peter is doing. Peter is writing a letter to some Christians who are, it's tough. They're finding it really hard. And here are his two big encouragements. Let me tell you what they are. These are my two big points, and then we're going to unpack them together. Firstly, he says, encouragement number one, you're living in enemy territory. That's his first encouragement. Secondly, you're heading for eternal glory. Okay, those aren't too difficult to remember. You're living in enemy territory, you're heading for eternal glory. And Peter says, that's my great encouragement to you. Now, if you're vaguely awake at this point, you may think, okay, I get that the second point is encouraging. I see that. But your first point doesn't sound very encouraging. You're living in enemy territory. How does that help me when I suffer? Okay, it is a massive encouragement. Let me show you what. I can prove it to you, okay? I want you to imagine, now, just a slight health warning. Please don't panic. I'm not going to make you do this. I want you to imagine you're sitting in a maths exam. And it's really hard. Really, you're finding it really, really hard. As you come out of the maths exam, what is the most discouraging thing that your friend might say to you? That was so easy, wasn't it? That would crush you, right? That would be very, very discouraging. The encouraging thing to hear is, oh, that was really hard. You say, oh, I'm so glad you thought it was hard too. That's what Peter's doing. Peter is saying to these Christians, it's hard, and that's what everybody finds. Living in this world is hard because you live in enemy territory. So look down at your sheets again at what he says. Listen to verse 8 again. Be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. You have an enemy. There is an enemy who is seeking to harm you. That's what Peter says. That is where you're living. This idea of the devil, who is pictured as being like the lion, that's where you live. You live in enemy territory. Now, I think we live in such a culture that has ignored this idea of any form of the enemy or a devil that kind of takes the Mickey out of that, that mocks it and says, what a joke. But the Bible's very clear. The Bible's clear about the reality of evil and the reality of an enemy. And his name is the devil. Now let me just spell out a couple of things. Let's just get our thinking clear. Let's get our theology right when it comes to the devil. The devil is not like God. You see, God is eternal. Okay, this is early, I know, for some theology. But come on, we can do this. God is eternal. Eternal means he has no beginning and he has no end. He is always existed. I am who I am. The one who has being in and of himself. God is eternal, the devil isn't. The devil had a beginning. The devil is a created being. Part of the work, the universe that God created. Part of the unseen spiritual world. An angelic being who rebelled and fell. He's not the same as God. He's not eternal. He's also not all powerful. God is all powerful, omnipotent. God says, I will do exactly what I please. And no one can thwart God's plans. No one can stop God. The devil isn't like that. The devil isn't all powerful. He is limited in what he can do. There's a great story in the Bible, in the book of Job, where the devil comes to God and asks permission of God to harm Job. He has to ask permission. So I want you to know this, okay? I want you to know that we live in enemy territory. The enemy is real, but he's not like God. He's not eternal. He's not all powerful. And yet he is an enemy. And he is dangerous. And he does seek to harm. Now, this really is important that we get our thinking right about where we live. It's so easy to assume that our world is supposed to be an easy place to live. Most of us work with this assumption, okay? That life is supposed to be straightforward. And that life is supposed to be comfortable. And that things are supposed to work. I'm entitled to an easy life. I know that. Let me show you that. I get in my car. I drive onto the M25. I hit a traffic jam. And my response is what? Frustration. How dare you? Who do you think you are? Why do you need to be on the road at this time when I'm here? Now listen, I know, okay, I know that most of the time the M25 is a car park. I know that. And yet I'm still annoyed when someone gets in my way. Because I think I have a right for things to be easy. The other day, I was out for coffee. I was trying to help someone, okay, it was a Christian, I was trying to help him, I was encouraged, feeling discouraged, I was trying to help, I thought I was doing something good. We were sitting outside in London, and a bird flew over and pooed on me. And I found myself kind of morally outraged that this could happen. How dare you? God, I was trying to do something good, and look what happened. I think we work with this assumption. Life is supposed to be easy. And when things go wrong, we throw our hands up and go, what's going on? Everything's going wrong. We live in a tough world, right? We live in a world where there's an enemy who wants to devour us. We live in a world that's hard. We live in enemy territory. And we need to be clear about that. Because otherwise, we're going to find ourselves constantly frustrated, disappointed, and disillusioned. So look what Peter says. He says to them, come on, wake up, be alert, and of sober mind. You have an enemy, you live in enemy territory. If you were going to spend the night in a lion enclosure, you wouldn't just relax and go, oh, this is nice. You'd constantly be alert. Where is it? What's going on? Where's the lion? And Peter says, come on, wake up. In fact, it's interesting, he doesn't say wake up, does he? He says, be sober. Now that's fascinating because a lot of people, when they realize the painfulness of our world, the pain of our world, their way of dealing with it is to find something that will numb that pain. That's why many people will drink alcohol. Okay, I'm going to get drunk because if I drink, if I become intoxicated with alcohol, then it will kind of numb the pain of this world. In fact, that would be some people's approach to spending a night in a lion enclosure. I'll take a bottle of scotch and that will help me through. Dutch courage, right? Pink Floyd sang a song with this amazingly evocative title. They sang a song called Comfortably Numb. That's how many people want to live their lives in this world. I want to be comfortably numb. I want to find something that will dull the pain. Now listen, it may not be alcohol. But there's something that you will look to intoxicate you. There are things that will intoxicate us. That will cause us to find ways to cope with the pain that will numb us to the pain. Intoxication. We are intoxicated. Whether that's with pleasure, with food, with power, whatever it might be. It's very easy. And Peter says, don't get drunk. Be sober. Be alert. Don't settle for an intoxication. You remember when Jesus was tempted by the devil in the wilderness? What did the devil seek to do? He sought to intoxicate Jesus. Come on, Jesus, take power. Don't go to the cross. Don't suffer. Don't die. Just take power. Take worship. Pursue power. And Peter's here saying, wake up. Realize the reality of the enemy that we face. We live in enemy territory. But what's his solution? This is fascinating, right? What's his solution in verse 9? I think this is very surprising. resist him. Okay, so if I've got three boys, okay, 12, 10 and 8. If my 12-year-old found himself in a lion enclosure, I think that would not be my advice. Listen, son, just resist him. Just stand there, stare him down. What would be my advice to my son? You need to run, mate. You need to run and hide. Find a place and hide. That's not what Peter says. Fascinating, this, isn't it? Resist him. Standing firm in the faith. Now that tells you something very important about the devil. Because if we're to resist him, who do you resist? You only resist someone that you are stronger than. Otherwise you run. Peter says, in the face of this enemy, resist him. You see, the devil, he may be scary and he may have a loud roar, but he's not someone to run away from. But why? Well, the clue comes in how Peter says we're to stand firm. Standing firm in the faith. Not standing firm because you're so strong, but standing firm in Jesus. You see, who is Jesus? Jesus is the eternal, all-powerful one. And when Jesus was faced, you find me one place in the Bible where Jesus ran away from the devil. Never. In fact, it was always the devil who cowered before Jesus. It was always the devil who was terrified of Jesus. And Jesus is the one who has defeated the enemy. And so now you resist him when you feel the pain, when you feel the heat, when you feel the temptation of sin, when you feel the struggle and the suffering and the pain and the brokenness of this world. What do? You don't run. You don't hide. You don't run away from Jesus and go, oh, this is terrible. You resist in the power of Jesus and you say, Jesus, you are strong and you're the victorious one. Stand firm. Look, our world is a tough place to live. Our world has rejected the God who made us. We have been handed over to an enemy rule. That is why life is so hard. If you're not a Christian here this morning, I want you to understand the reason that life is tough in this world is because there is an enemy who wants to cause you to run away from God. But the reason Jesus came was so that the enemy would be defeated and so that you could stand firm. And today he says, stand firm. Not in your strength, but in Jesus. And then look how the end of verse 9 goes. You see, this is the encouragement. Because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. Everybody's facing this. It's tough. But stand firm. So let me say very specifically to some of you this morning, perhaps some of you this morning are feeling the heat of this particularly. You're facing the pressure, the desire to give up, to be intoxicated, to say, forget all this, it's too hard following Jesus. I'm just gonna plunge myself into something that will numb the pain. Whether that's alcohol or an affair. Isn't that interesting how so many people seek refuge in some sexual release? Because they cut their something to numb the pain. And here's Peter saying, be alert, wake up, there's an enemy, stand firm. Don't turn away from Jesus. You live in enemy territory. Second, I'm going to need to do this more briefly. Second, you're heading for eternal glory. Oh, come on, this has got to be an encouragement, right? Listen to what Peter says. And the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, after you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you and make you strong, firm and steadfast. To him be the power forever and ever. I love this verse. This verse reminds me of being a little boy. Because my mum had this verse written out on one of our kitchen cupboards at home. Because my mum realised what quite a lot of you who are parents will realise that when you have small children, it's really difficult to have a quiet time and to do all the things that we're supposed to do as Christians. It's tough, right? It's tough, isn't it? Yeah. So this is what my mum did. She used to put Bible verses kind of around the walls in our house so that when she was kind of going about life, she could learn them and see them and stuff. But this verse stuck in my head because she hadn't written it quite like this. She'd written, this is what she'd literally written. The God of all grace has called you to eternal glory in Christ. After you have suffered a little while, will himself restore you. Then in brackets it says, mend your nets. And make you strong, firm, and steady. What's that? Why should you put mend your nets? I could never work it out. But I discovered as I studied this, that actually she's right. The word restore you is the same word literally as mending your nets. Remember, Peter's a fisherman. This is what Peter did, mending the nets. So my mum, who was not a Greek scholar, I don't think, sometime must have heard a sermon on this and someone had explained this and she thought, wow, that's such a great image. She put it on her wall. And actually, it is a beautiful image. Peter's saying that as we live in this world, we're like torn, ripped, shredded nets. But the God of all grace will mend you. He will restore you. Isn't that beautiful? The God of all grace will put you together. And he will make you strong. And there is a day coming when you will be mended, restored. Now, how do we know? Is this just like, oh, that's really nice, it's a really nice thought? No, it's not just a nice thought. This is real. I tell you why it's real. Because we've seen it happen. You see, Peter has seen it happen before his eyes. Peter, remember, was Jesus' closest friend. He watched Jesus. And he watched Jesus at the cross be torn apart. Jesus at the cross was torn and shredded like a net ripped apart as the enemy sought to destroy the Son of God. Jesus knows what it's like to suffer the most intense suffering. But 3 days later, he was raised. 3 days later, he was restored. And Peter says, I've seen it. I've seen it happen, and that's how I know it's going to happen for you. Because Jesus at the cross, when he was torn apart for you. Your sin was laid upon him. He experienced in himself the suffering and the punishment that we deserve in order that you could be restored and mended. So this morning, the God of all grace says to you, stand firm. I know it's tough. I know it's hard. I know you're in enemy territory. I know you feel like you're being shredded. I know you feel like you can barely carry on. I know it. I know that it's hard. But that's because you live in enemy territory. And the God of all grace is going to restore you. You have to listen to this voice. You have to listen to this word. The God of all grace will restore you. And he's not just the God of all grace, he's the God of all power. And when the God of all grace and the God of all power says to you, hold on, stand firm, keep going. That's the voice. That's the voice. And maybe that's the reason God's brought you to church this morning. Because you need to hear this. And maybe you are feeling pretty strong this morning. Maybe you're thinking, no, I think I'm doing okay. Let me tell you this, there will be a day when you need to hear this. I beg of you, will you store this in your mind somewhere, in your heart, so that on the day when suffering strikes, you're able to resist, stand firm, say, I'm living in enemy territory, but I'm called to eternal glory, and I'm going to stand firm. Will you stand? Let's pray together.